The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzer365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Micha Cohen.
Simon Kuf Mem Tes. This is the final simon that talks about the halachas of a chasana, of a wedding, and the shavu brachas, the 7 days afterwards. And it says the following: Dinei brachas hamazon, the laws of benching, that's when the shavu brachas are said, b'nisuin, at a wedding, u'mitzvah simchas chasana v'kala, and the mitzvah to make joyful the bride and groom. Sif Aleph, the first sif. Kaidim brachas hamazon v'asara. Now at the wedding, at the chasana, so we would like to have at least 10 people there at the time of benching. And when you have the 10 people, Omer HaMavarech Devai Haser. Now normally, when you bench with a mezuman, when you have 3 or more people, then you say Rabbi Sai Nevarech, and you begin benching. When it comes to a wedding, we have a special thing that's said, called Devai Haser. V'Omerim Shasimcha B'Mo'aynai, and we say Baruch Shasimcha B'Mo'aynai. So we thank Hashem that of the joy that's happening over here in the beginning of benching. Now some had the version to say v'sha'achalam yishalai. So according to the Kitzer, at least one should say just she'achalam yishalai. V'loi v'sha'achalam yishalai. V'achar berachas hamazon. So now, basically, what happens is the person leading benching says v'ayhaser, and he says she'asimcha b'ma'aynai, and then they bench, and at the end of benching, v'achar berachas hamazon lekech kos sheni, they take a second cup, v'omer olav sheish brachas, and they say the sheva brachas. V'achar kach mavarach ala kos shal berachas hamazon bar pri agafen. Now the 7th bracha is going to be bar pri agafen, and that's going to be said on the original cup during benching. In other words, normally when we bench, especially at a chasna, at a wedding, or sheva brachas, it's done with a cup, it's done with a kos of wine or grape juice, and the sheva brachas is set on a second cup. Now the second cup is normally filled after benching, and those 6 of the sheva brachas are said, and then the 7th final bracha, which is the bar pri agafen, that is set on the cup of benching, and then they mix the 2 cups together, and they give the chasan and kal, the bride and groom, from each of those cups. V'toiv shaloi l'maloi, says akos l'shesh brachas, and it's proper not to fill up the cup that's used for those special blessings ad l'achar brachas hamazon, because again, until after benching, because that's a special cup that's not for the benching, but it's for the special joy of the chasan and kal. Tzrichim lizayir shaloi yoichlu anoshim v'noshim b'cheder echad. Now this is an interesting discussion. According to the Kitzer, one should be careful that men and women are not in the same room, or at least that there's some sort of partition, some sort of mechitzin between them. Why? Because if men and women are going to be eating together, you can't say that the joy is there, and this joy means the joy of the Shechina, of the Divine Presence, because you don't have divine joy when men and women are mingling and mixed together, so then people's thoughts are not going to be as pure as they should be. So therefore, you can't have that divine joy. This is the opinion of the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch. Now, there is a lot of discussion about this that goes back many years, and in many places it was customary to say the blessing, the bracha of Shasimcha B'Mo'inai, even though both men and women were in the room together. And the reason given by the Levush and others is because since it's normal, it's common that in these types of family gatherings that we do have men and women together, so therefore people are used to it, and they're not going to come to bad thoughts. So therefore, again, depending on the community, each one should follow its custom, but the prevalent custom is to say Shasimcha B'Mo'aynai, even though there are men and women in the same room. And the reason is because since it's normal, so we're not concerned. Now, some suggest that if there's at least a partition, some sort of separation, and that would be perhaps enough. But again, this is depends on the situation. Sif Beis. Bochar Shanasa B'Sul Al-Mana. Now, until now we were talking about the Shavuot Brachas during the wedding. Now we're going to be talking about for the rest of the week. There's a mitzvah to make meals and to celebrate with the Chasan and Kala. And if that's done, then we do make special brachas at the end of benching. And we're going to learn about when those are said and when are not, when those things are not said. Baruch HaShanasa Basulol Amana. If a young man who has never been married before marries a woman who has never been married, or a mana, or a widow, V'chein Alman Shanasa Basula, or a widower, marries a woman who's never been married. So basically, one of the couple has never been married before. Mevarchin Kane Besuda Harishon Shachar Nesuim. At the wedding meal, they make the bracha of the seven brachas, the Sheva brachas. Afil Le'achlu B'yayim. Even if the wedding was at daytime and the suda and the meal was at nighttime, but it's the first meal of the wedding or after the chuppah, so therefore they recite Shavuot brachas. Rak b'layla shalachar yom ha'nisuin, even though it's the following night, v'afilu b'yom sha'achrav, even the next day, mishum d'suda rishayin ha'havei kepanim chadashos, because the first meal is like a new face. Now, basically, the concept of Shavuot brachas is that for the entire 7-day period, beginning from the wedding, if one of the couple is their first marriage, then we recite Sheva Brachas. Now, we only recite Sheva Brachas, however, if there's what's called Panim Chadashos, a new face, a person who wasn't at the wedding, or other things that can make it Panim Chadashos. And the idea is that if there's something new, say a person that wasn't there at the wedding, then that, and it's like a new joy, it's an added joy to the festivities, and therefore, that's enough that we can make these blessings. So, what the Kitzur here is saying is that even if there was no wedding meal, until a day or two after the actual chuppah, but the very fact that it's the first time sitting down and making a celebration, that will be enough for it to be considered panim chadashos, like a new face, even though there's actually not a new face, because there's no new people, let's say, but that will be enough where they can recite the Shavuot brachas. Achar suda rishayna, but after the first meal, v'chein b'chol shivas hamishta, and the same is true with all the 7 days of the celebrating after the wedding. Himpo parim chadashos. If someone who was not at the wedding comes mefarchim kain, then we do make the seven brachas. Sif Gimel continues. Ukishein parim chadashos. When there are no new faces, im sadim im achasan anoshim sheinim mipnei beisai. If there are people with the chasim, with the groom, that are not from his family members. And so they're there and they're celebrating with him, but they were at the wedding. Ain't armim devai haser. So we don't say devai haser at the beginning of benching, but some things you do say v'armim noydel shimcha, that you do say v'shas simcha v'mainai, those things you say v'achar brech samazon lakeach kois sheni. And after Berachas HaMazon, you take a second cup and you recite on it, Asher Baruch Sasa V'Simcha, V'Acher Kach Lekech Kais Shel Berachas HaMazon V'Armel Bar Piragof. And so basically, the idea over here is that if you have Panim Chadashos, if you have a new person, then you could recite the entire Shavuot Brachas. If you don't have a new person, but it's the same people that were at the wedding and they're continuing to celebrate, then there are some special things we do. We do say Neidah L'Shemcha, we do say Shia Simcha V'mayinai, and we do make one of the seven Shavuot Brachas and Bar Pirag Ofen, but we don't do all seven. L'Zayin, Asar HaSara, and to do these couple things that you don't even need 10 people, Rach Gam B'Shloshim Avarchim, if there's just 3, it's enough. V'olam Einis Sayed Rachim B'Neib, basically V'Vad, but if it's only actually with the family, so then there's nothing really special about them, nothing really festive, so Ein Aymer Klum Mizeh. So basically, if it's a festive meal with friends and other people, even though no one who's there wasn't at the wedding, so it's not as special, so we do something special. We do say the bracha of Asher Bara and say some chamayne, a few things, but the full Shavuot brachas we don't say. Alman shenas almana, siv dal. Now, what happens if it's neither of their first marriages? Both were widowed before. Im achlu suda rishayna b'yem nesuin. If they ate the first meal in the day of the wedding, afal pi shenimshcha suda gam b'layla. So now the suda continues into the next night. So if it's the first meal after the wedding, then yes, they do say the seven brachas. But if it didn't start on the same day as the chuppah, if there are people that are eating because it's a wedding, you partially say the brachas, not all of them, even if there are new people. The same is true with the sudas of the first 3 days. So basically, the idea is like this. The almana shenasa, alman shenasa almana, if it's both of their second weddings, so basically the meal right after the wedding, on the same day as the wedding, on that meal, we recite all seven blessings, all of the Sheva Brachas. However, once that meal is not an actual day of the wedding, rather it's the next day, or any special meal, any festive meal, for 3 days after the wedding, we recite what we mentioned in the Sif before, which would be not the full seven brachas, but a few special things, Simcha b'ma'aynai, Hashem b'rasas b'simcha, those few things that would be said. That's the halacha of someone who it's not neither of their, not the bride or the groom's, first marriage. It's their second marriage. Sif hey. Now, we mentioned that if it is a first marriage for at least one of them, then we would be able to recite all sevens, but we need panim chadashes, we need a new face. So what does that mean, a new face? In Baal Lashon Adam Machmash Simchas Mereyas, a person is coming explicitly to celebrate the wedding with them, writes in Maharbas Beshvila, and for such a person who perhaps prepare a little bit extra, even if you didn't actually do that, but you would have, even though he doesn't actually eat, but that's enough, because he's adding to the joy. Shabbos v'yontif rishon v'sheni havei kepanim chadashos. Now, interesting concept, that Shabbos, or yontif, is considered as panim chadashos. So therefore, on Shabbos, you don't have to worry about having panim chadashos. So this is very common, right? You have a Shabbos, Shabbos brachas, and all the family is there, and all the family was at the wedding. But since it's special for the chasana, you can say the Sheva Brachas, even though there's no panim chadashos. V'dafka sudas halayla v'sudas shachras, but that's only for the nighttime meal and the daytime meal. Also the shlishis b'shal shudas lahavi panim chadashos, that is not panim chadashos, eli machasin darish, only if the groom says a drasha, so somehow that drasha makes it more special. Now, the pious can talk about that it doesn't necessarily have to be the chasan, even if others speak, that also would have an idea of panim chadashos for the third suda of Shabbos. It would not help during the week, but it would help for the third suda of Shabbos. Im adam azmin es tachasam es akal lachol sham. Now, if someone invites the bride and groom to eat, im yachlum hem sham cher b'fni atzman. If they have their own room, sheyachal lias b'cher v'lesmach sham, that it's their own situation where they could, you know, celebrate there, have a kamei chuppah, did who, it's like their own chuppah, mevarchen sham shara brachas, and then you can say shara brachas. V'im lav, but if not, in mevarchen afil ashev bara v'sheh simcha v'moinai. But if, basically, the bride and groom is invited over into a place, but there's nothing special about it. It's not like they have their own room that we could celebrate the wedding. It's just they're, you know, going to a restaurant or something, happen to be eating with other people. So then we don't consider it to be a situation where you would make Sheva Brachas because it's not a situation that's special for celebrating the wedding. It would seem, based on the halacha, that if the bride and groom are eating in a place where meals are served anyways, for example, a hotel or a restaurant, and people are coming there for a Sheva Brachas, so they should be told beforehand that they're coming for a Sheva Brachas. Because the point is, if people, let's say, are anyways coming to a dining hall, and they don't know that they're coming to a Sheva Brachas, and it happens to be, everyone should know, tonight we're making a Sheva Brachas, so, or at the end of the meal, they want to make Sheva Brachas, but the meal, people didn't come to the meal in mind for Sheva Brachas, there was nothing really special or festive about the meal. So, based on this halacha, some Paiskim say that if a Sheva Brachas is made in a place where people are anyways gathered for meals, that the people should be notified before the beginning of the meal that this is going to be a special meal for the Sheva Brachas, in order that they should be able to recite the Brachas. The Kitzur continues in Siv Zayin. B'nei Chuppah, the people who were at the wedding ceremony, and now they had a meal. Shenach lekula chaburus habit. They went into different groups. Feel labatim she'enam psuchim lamakam shachasin sham. Even if they're in little rooms or little other houses, it's not even connected to where the groom is. So even though they're not in the presence of the bride and groom, but they still could make the full shavu brachas in each of these small rooms. Because they're still eating a meal that's part of the festivity of the wedding. Let's say the waiters and people helping out, that they didn't eat at the time of the actual meal of the wedding, and mevarachim brachas, although they do not make these brachas. There's a discussion about, you know, sometimes, let's say it's a very big hall, and the chasana and kala can't even hear the shavu brachas being said. So is that an issue or not? So it would seem from the kitzur over here that even though they're each of these groups are not in the presence of the chasan and kala, they still make the brachas, that the chasan and kala do not necessarily have to hear the bracha. Also, sometimes, let's say in shul, the kala may not get close enough to be able to hear the bracha off in the men's section, or something like that. So according to many paiskim, that is okay. L'chatchila, one should try that they should be able to hear the brachas, but the paiskim do say that if they don't, it's not such an issue. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, the Sha'ar Mitzionim Ba'alacha, which is a commentary on the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, brings a discussion about a common problem that people go to a Shavu Brachas and it takes a long time, and they have to leave before the Shavu Brachas are recited. And he brings from Rabbi Anasin Steif and others that one does not have to stay, say if one benches early, they don't have to stay until the Shavu Brachas are recited. There's another issue that comes up, which is that normally when people sit down to a meal together, then they have an obligation to stay for Zimun, to stay for benching with a Mezumin. And sometimes for the Shavu Brachas takes a long time. There is a tshuva, there's a response from Rav Moshe Feinstein and Igros Moshe, that he's of the opinion that if a person went into the meal with understanding that they might not be able to stay till the end, then that exempts them from having to stay. Others disagree and they say it doesn't help to make that stipulation, but according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, when one goes to, say, a wedding or to a Shavu Brachas, and one realizes that they might not be able to stay for the whole thing, they sort of have that in mind, and that exempts them from being obligated to stay until that point. We're going to continue now with Sifches. Machzeh Grushasei. So a person who is returning his own wife that he divorced, he's obviously not a Kohen, because a Kohen won't be able to do it, but he's a Yisrael, a regular Jew, and as long as the woman was not married to anyone else in between, she's allowed to go back to her original husband. So now they're getting remarried. Ein Armer Shasimcha B'mayinai, we don't make the blessing of Shasimcha B'mayinai, because it's not as great of a joy, because they were already married to each other once. U'basuda Rishayna B'yam Nesuin, the actual wedding meal, Ayrim Shavu Brachas, then you do say seven blessings, and we can't ve'elech, and Ayrim al-Klum, but after that, nothing is said at all. Now, there is a discussion, but unfortunately, a situation where the bride and groom weren't careful, and they had relations before the actual wedding. Do they lose their Shavu Brachas? So, the Nadi Behudor seems to write that it's an issue, because you don't have that freshness. The Chasam Sofer and others are of the opinion that since it's now they're married, and that itself is a great joy, and things are going to be proper now, that is a reason to still make Shavu Brachas. So this is, again, a discussion that the place can have. There's also a discussion about, you know, let's say at the end of the 7 days, they begin the Shavu Brachas not far from Shkia, from sunset. And now, by the time the Shavu Brachas is finished, it's already into the next day, into the night. So, many are of the opinion that they could still make Shavu Brachas, because it began during the time that it was still within the 7 days, and the benching is just a conclusion of that, they could still make Shavu Brachas. Another interesting question is, many times, let's say weddings are made, you know, towards the evening, near sunset, right before sunset, and then the meal is right after sunset. So the question is, do we consider the 7 days from the wedding, or do we consider the 7 days to be from the actual meal? So some are also of the opinion that because there was no time to have the meal earlier, then you actually don't have to begin the 7 days from the ceremony, but it'll be 7 days from the meal, which would give you an extra day. There's also a discussion about exactly how much after Shkia. We know that there's different amounts of time given after Shkia, so at what point do we say that it's, you know, it's which day it is? Again, these are a lot of different questions, and different people have different customs as far as how they make the calculation of where the seven days begin and end. The Kitzer continues now with Siftes. Now we're discussing the mitzvah, the great mitzvah of bringing joy to the bride and groom. Mitzvah l'sameach chasav v'kala, the mitzvah to bring them joy, l'rakid b'fneim, to dance in front of them, v'loy mashino v'chasuda. Now, it's a famous gemara, ketzer merakdil l'fnei kala. How do they gladden the bride and groom? They say, kalano v'chasuda. And they say how beautiful and how special the kala is. This is one of the places that there's a discussion about if you're allowed to lie, if you're allowed to say something that's not truthful. And there's an idea that if you say something that could be true, or that's a little stretching the truth, but it's not an outright lie, it could be interpreted. Let's say you say she's beautiful, but she's really ugly, but her actions aren't beautiful, so it could be stretched, and you're doing it for the right reason, so that would still be considered not saying something you shouldn't be saying. We find that even many great holy tzaddikim, you know, who were so careful with everything that they did, when it came to gladdening a bride and groom, they went out of their way to do it. And I think part of the idea behind it is that, you know, people are starting a new relationship and a new destiny together, and a new, you know, link of the Jewish people. And if we're able to show them and to let them go into it with feeling good about it, then it can set things up in a way that'll have a strong future. Whereas if they're going to go into it, no one really cares, and no one makes a big deal about it, then that could affect their whole demeanor, you know, throughout the relationship. Now it's interesting that the language seems to be larake, which is the dance, but then what's said is noa v'chasuda. It's said about the qualities of the bride. Now some understand that the idea of gladdening the bride and groom is not necessarily to dance and to bring that sort of joy, but it's in sicha, it's in words, and that makes sense from the Gemara. The Gemara says, kalanov v'chasuda, talking about the qualities, and the idea is to give a good word of encouragement, a comment, that sort of thing is very strong, and it really makes a lot of sense why the Gemara is so particular about it. Because if it would just be dancing, so okay, dancing's a nice thing, but the idea over here is that if a person could give words to make each one feel that they're getting the most unbelievable person, so they're gonna go into the marriage, you know, a lot happier and a lot more comfortable. And obviously that helps a lot, because if each one feels like they're getting the best possible deal, so to speak, so then they're gonna be much more patient and much more willing to put up with things, whether if they feel that, you know, they could have gotten, you know, something better, let's say. The Kitzer continues. So if you're also the stock of Bakala, one should not gaze intently at the Kala. Now, it's interesting that there's a whole discussion about this. It seemed to be that one of the ways that they would show the dearness of the bride would be that, you know, people would pay attention to her. They would look at her, and that was, you know, she's attracting attention. So obviously, you know, she's really special. You know, she's really beautiful. So it says even you're doing it for the right reasons, but one shouldn't directly look at the bride, because we're afraid that, you know, that it's going to lead to not good things. The person has to be careful. Things that are not as alluring, not the actual kala, but say things she's wearing, or perhaps her hair, which, you know, hair is something that it's beautiful, but it's something that people are sort of used to, and therefore those things, you know, if you're doing it for the right reason, then it's okay. But the kala herself, that's something that should be avoided. Sif Yud Aleph. Geishna again. There is a custom, sort of interesting custom. Shema Kala Haisa Tmei B'Shas Nisun. If the bride was impure at the time of the wedding, Chupas Nida, as it's known, Azay Achakach Balil Tulasun. So now she's going to the mikvah, and now she's pure. Haisim Suda, they make a little meal. Mazamnin Nashim Achem, and they sort of invite people over. So the Kitzur says this is practice is not a very good practice. Ve'ein zanachan ve'yesh levatel min hagzeh, and one should stop this custom mishum matznius, because immodest, because why should people know that she's going to the mikvah? That's something obviously very personal between the husband and wife. And over here we see something very important, you know, a general, you know, important lesson, which is that these areas of the relationship of husband and wife are private, and then it's meant to be kept that way. And that sort of gives them the space and the respect that they need, and therefore the kitzur is discouraging very much this practice. But if they do it for the people within the house, so in those days especially, sort of people would know what's going on. You know, when one went to the mikvah, people would sort of know about it. If they're in the same house and they lived very closely to each other, so then already people know about it anyway, so it's not the same issue with tznius, which obviously would be very different today, because today's days people don't know about it usually, or hopefully. So they wouldn't be able to say this bracha, aim lil chay. So if they do that, even though they... it shouldn't necessarily be done to say the bracha, but if they do it, it's okay. Aval shara brachas asur levarach, but definitely you cannot make shara brachas. Rak v'ayf mentions bar le'el, only what it said before. Okay, let's see sif yud beis. Hanois is basula. Now we know that one who marries a woman who's never been married before, besides for the shara brachas, the groom has a mitzvah of making her joyful the whole week. She has to make her joyful the whole 7 days. And those are the 7 days of party, of celebration. And regardless of whether or not they have shav brachas, the groom has certain restrictions. What are his restrictions? He shouldn't be doing work. Now, what does work mean? It seems to me to actually be going to work, his job. And he shouldn't go be doing business. That he eats and drinks and celebrates with her. Whether or not he has been married before or not, if the wife, it's her first marriage, and that's what he's supposed to do. And the idea behind this is obviously very important, that he's supposed to be giving her full attention. You know, later on, obviously, he's going to have to go to work, and he's going to have to do all these things, but right now, she deserves to have that attention. And even if she says it's okay, he's not allowed to do work. Now, there's an interesting discussion here about this, that a chassan, that a groom, is not supposed to be doing work. First of all, what does that mean? Is he allowed to turn on the light? So I say yes. All those things, let's say that on Chol HaMoed, he'll be allowed to do, so here he definitely could do as well. But the question is, what's the nature of this prohibition to do work? Is it an intrinsic prohibition, like Chol HaMoed? Or is it because since he owes her that time, so he's supposed to be with her, he shouldn't be distracted? And the obvious difference is, what if she says it's okay? She says, listen, we need money, please go to work. So it seems, the kids are saying that it doesn't help. That even if she is Michael, he can't do certain things. I don't believe this is entirely clear. I do believe others are of the opinion that at least some things he could do if she says it's okay. And obviously you have to know that it's completely sincere, but if she would say it's okay, then some could be that he could do certain things. I did also see that Dover Aved, something that he's going to have a tremendous loss, just like when it comes to Avelas, when it comes to Shiva, when it comes to Chol HaMoed, these different situations where Malacha is prohibited, but if Dover Aved, something that's a big loss, then one could do. Now, then the Kitzur speaks about another issue, which is the Gemara tells us that a chassan, a groom, and a bride, they need shmir, they need watching. And the reason seems to be that, you know, different, you know, supernatural or different forces, you know, sort of are jealous of the fact that, you know, it's his big day, it's his special time. And there's sort of this ayin hara, so to speak, over him, that he has to be careful. So therefore, also lots of sechidi b'shuk, he shouldn't be going out by himself. It seems that the chassan and kal could go together because each one is sort of a guardian for the other one. And there is a discussion about when this begins. Does it begin from the ofruf? Does it from the Shabbos before? From the morning of the chassan? There's different customs as far as at what point does the chassan need a shomer. But the basic idea is that for sure during the shavar brachas, and at least from close to the wedding, that preferably the chassan or kal shouldn't be going out by themselves, at least in the street. If they're not with the other spouse, then they should have someone with them. V'naisa b'ula, Now, if a person marries a woman who has been married before, imhu alman, and he's also been married before, lekuli alma ein tzarich simcha el shlosha yamim, so then he spends 3 days with her. Imhu bachar, and what if he has not been married before? So, but she has been married before. Yesh arim tzarich l'smach ima shiva yamim. Some say it goes according to him, and therefore he has to stay with her 7 days. Kimet shemavarchem b'shvila shava brachas, because you see that it's a new marriage, enough to have shava brachas. But on that already, the wife could forgive. Now, what happens if one of the regular public fasts fall out during the Shavar Brachas? So he says, look, before, I believe the prevalent custom is that the Chasen does fast if it falls out on one of the Shavar Brachas. Sif Yugimel. Hanaisa Isha, one who marries a woman, Tzarech Lama Be'ira Yishana Tmima, L'smayach Ima, he should not leave town for that year. That's a mitzvah in the Torah, Shenemar, L'yetzi B'tzava, right, the famous halacha, if they go out to war, he's not supposed to go out to war. Look, Yilabes Yishana Achas, V'simachas Ishtoi, that he's a special obligation, that they're solidifying a marriage, the Shana Rishana, the first year, he should be available at home. Aval Isha Yichal Limcha, but the wife could forgive. So again, this really finishes the steps for marriage through Shavar Brachas. And the basic idea behind it is a lot of the fact that during those first 7 days and that first year, it's important to give the relationship time to deepen and get set up to a right track, so that the rest of their lives should be Re'eh Mahuvim, they should be the best of friends.